Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
We're looking at some of the great themes of the Bible. And since it is Mother's Day, I thought we'd look at what I'm calling the Blessed Mothers of the Scriptures. Many people know there's more than one Blessed Mother. There are a lot of blessed mothers. We're going to look at just two of them today. We're going to look at Hannah from the Old Testament in 1 Samuel, and then we're going to look at Mary, of course, in the Gospel of Luke. Now, we know that Hannah was the mother of what famous prophet? Does anybody remember? Samuel. Very good. Of course, Mary, everybody knows, mother of Jesus. But these two women share a lot of things in common, and that's what we're going to kind of look at here today. First, we're going to start by looking at Hannah. She's a very special woman. Much like Sarah, who was married to Abraham, she was one of two wives. Most women probably don't like being one of two wives. But what complicates situations is that the other wife had children, and she did not. And she felt, obviously, a lack of fulfillment. Women tend to get fulfillment from being mothers, and this was definitely the case. So she prayed this prayer. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction, and she viewed the fact that she did not have a child as an affliction, not as God's will, but something that was inflicted upon her. Not necessarily true, but that's the way she viewed it. If you will look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. One day she's at the temple, going there yearly, a place called Shiloh, not Jerusalem at this time. She goes there and she's in such agony about this and she's praying that she appears to be drunk. Her lips aren't moving, but she's just crying out in her heart to the Lord. And what happens is, the priest named Eli comes out and sees her and says this. Oh, actually, she says this to him. He thinks she's drunk. That's not in our text here. But she says this, do not regard your servant as a worthless woman. Now, she felt a sense of worthlessness. She always had. Women tend to get their identity through being moms and through being wives. I was reading something very interesting about women losing their identity when they become mothers and have children and raise families. And there were article after article about women losing their identity. And I thought to myself, that's not exactly true. Because many women, when they become moms and become wives, actually find their identity. If you would ask my wife, what is her most important identity? She would not say to be a physical therapy assistant. She would say it is her identity to be a wife, and perhaps even at a higher degree, not that she doesn't exalt that, but she would say, I am a mom, and she says, I'm a grandmom. And especially now, for some reason, now that she's a grandmom, she's really excited about this. I mean, if I tried to even compare physical therapy with her being a grandmom, I mean, she would just shoot me down immediately. I mean, when she talks about that, she glows and glows and glows and glows. So there's nothing wrong, I don't think, for women to find a great sense of identity from being moms. Does anybody find that to be offensive? Is there any greater thing that you can do than be a great wife and a great mom? Is there any greater thing I can do to be a great husband? I mean, if I'm a good pastor but a terrible husband, what does that make me? Probably a hypocrite, actually. So the identity that we get from being wives and mothers and fathers and husbands is not a bad thing. She kind of felt, because she didn't have a child, that she was a worthless woman. For all along, I have been speaking out of great anxiety and vexation again over this fact Then Eli, and he doesn't even know what she's praying about. He has no idea that she's praying for a son. He walks by and basically says this, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." So we know what happens. She bears a son. The son is just very, very young when she is weaning him, obviously, and she decides that she is going to bring him to the temple when he is just a boy, probably 8, 9 years old. She says, "I'm going to wean him, and then I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." I don't know. Think about this a second. She prays for a child, she gets a child, and then she keeps her vow. That is to say, to give the child back to God. How many women know that that would be a hard thing to do? To raise a child 8 years old and then at the age of 8, give him to the priest and say, "Now he's yours, he belongs to the Lord, you take care of him." She only visited him once a year after that point. That is a tremendous sacrifice. But she kept her end of the bargain. And on one of her visits, Eli the priest comes out and he blesses them. He blesses Elkanah, who's the father, and his wife, and he says, "May the Lord give you children by this woman for this petition she has asked of the Lord." She asked for a child that she could give back to God, and now may he grant, and by this one birth, she was able to give birth to many. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 more daughters. Her womb was open, I believe, because of this great sacrifice. The Bible tells us that in the womb, God does a creative miracle and creates something that is glorious. But in this case, because of this woman's faith and request, he not only creates something that is glorious, he creates something that is actually going to save Israel, her son. Because what we're told is that Eli didn't know this at the time, that he blessed her, but that her son was going to be the heir of the temple, and he was going to be the one who was going to lead Israel back to faithfulness. Because he had 2 other sons, that is to say, Eli had 2 sons. Both of them were worthless men, and the Lord pronounced a judgment upon them that they were going to die. So Eli loses both of his sons, who were probably in their 20s or 30s, loses both of them. They both are struck dead. And the reason why the Bible says that God struck them dead is because they were worthless men who did not know God, who apparently would seduce the women who came to the temple and sleep with them. Not to mention taking the offerings, robbing the church, doing all kinds of despicable things. So both of them died, and God said, "I will rise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever." This is the prophecy about a little boy by the name of Samuel. So what we see here of Samuel, and this is a beautiful story, we all know the story of Samuel, I believe, is that he's a little boy, he's 8, 9, perhaps he is in the temple of God, and God begins to speak. Visions and words from the Lord were very rare. And look at this beautiful verse. It says, "At that time, Eli, who was the priest, his eyesight had begun to grow dim." I believe this is spiritually even. He was beginning to lose focus so that he couldn't see. And he was lying down in his own place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. I think that's also spiritual, that Israel had not lost the light of God. And look at what happens here. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. In other words, this little boy cannot get close enough to the Lord. He is laying right next to the Ark of the Covenant, which is where the presence of God is. And there this little boy lies and is so close to the heart of God. The Bible tells us that he wore a little priest outfit that his mother made him. Imagine a little boy wearing a little priest outfit nestled up to the Ark of God. It's a beautiful picture. She was blessed, and she, by this offering, blessed the nation of Israel. Samuel became a prophet who the Bible says was next to Moses. He delivered the people from the Philistines. He instituted kings, helped them, guided them, lived a godly life. As a matter of fact, there is not one negative thing ever said about this young boy named Samuel. Mary's the next woman. And there's something very similar about her, and that is this, that much like Hannah, she wanted to be a servant of God. Remember Hannah saying, "Your servant, your servant, your servant." Mary said this when the Lord, through an angel, spoke to her, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word." She saw herself first and foremost as a servant. I believe women, perhaps more than any other thing, should get their identity through servanthood, especially servanthood to God. So what is one of their greatest services? One of their greatest services to God is giving birth to children. That is a service to God. Here's what the Bible says in Exodus about this service. It says, "Thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that open the matrix." That actually uses the word matrix here. The matrix was the womb. The Bible says that every child that is the first to come out of the matrix, come out of the womb, belongs to God. So every woman knew that their first child was for the Lord, given over to God's service. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't use other children. Obviously, he used David and various other ones who were born later. But there is a special blessing upon the firstling, the firstborn. It says that every firstling that comes of the beast, that is to say animals, and every male that obviously comes out of a woman shall be of the Lord. In Exodus, it speaks very clearly about this process of God birthing something into the world that is His. Matter of fact, David said this. He said, "You formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." This is why we as Christians are so protective of life in the womb, because we see it as something that belongs to God. God is doing a work in every mother that has a seed in her. If conception happens, God begins to knit. He begins to bring together what is in the womb. That is why abortion is really not a, you know, we talk about a woman's right. She has a right. Well, if you're a believer, you don't believe you have a right to your womb. You believe your womb belongs to God. And the greatest service a woman perhaps does for the Lord in a way of an act of service is this process of giving birth to children. David said, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are what? Your works. My soul knows it well." David saw himself as being knit together by the Lord in the womb. There are a lot of tremendous positives about being a mother, about blessing the world. My wife used to say, she still says it sometimes, she says, of Christopher, she could say it of both of our boys, but she says it especially of Christopher, because Christopher has lived such an amazingly impeccable spiritual life. He made a vow to himself that he wouldn't even kiss a girl until he kissed her on his wedding day. And I was his stepfather, so I saw this young man grow up in our house, never said a word off color, derogatory in any way to me. We never had a word in any negativity. I could say that both of the kids. Amazing kid. And my wife would always say, she says, "I cannot believe that I gave birth to him." And she marveled at that. She says, "I can't believe I could give birth to something like this." Now, it doesn't mean that Christopher was perfect, but one thing is for sure, Christopher was called of God. And so she saw the work of God that went beyond her and beyond anything that she could do or I could do or anybody can do. And I think there is something amazingly special about providing a service to God which involves bringing into the world someone who is called of God to bless others. But is there pain involved in being a mother? Well, in this case, both of these women had tremendous pain. The one, Hannah, giving her child at the age of 8 to the priest. Each year she saw him and she made a little coat for him, but that was the only contact she had. The prophecy that came from Elizabeth concerning Mary was this: many will oppose him, meaning Jesus. And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then she says, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Mary carried this word around in her heart into the day they crucified Jesus. Can you imagine being a mother of a 30-year-old boy, man, young man, but watching him be crucified? Losing him at such a young age. There is tremendous pain connected with both Hannah and Mary, and maybe there's pain connected with you. Maybe there is something in your life that has caused you to have a pain that resulted from being a mother. There are some people that say, you know, it would be nice to be a godly mother and have a godly family and raise godly children, but my children aren't following the Lord. My husband isn't following the Lord. I'm the only one. Maybe my life isn't blessed. And I would say this to you. There is a greater blessing upon a godly mother who does not have believing children or a believing husband. The Bible says this: the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. The godly mother, the godly wife brings holiness to her house and a blessing to her house because of her righteousness. She is actually, in a sense, more blessed because she can bring a blessing to others who don't know the Lord. Some people say, well, what if I'm a woman, I was never married, or I don't have children, is there something wrong with me? Well, actually, the Bible says that there's a greater blessing upon you than even if you were married. The Apostle Paul says, to the unmarried and to the widows, I say it is good for them to remain single as I am. Why? He says, because I want to promote what is appropriate and to secure an undistracted devotion to the Lord. Here Paul says, if you could stay in a state of singleness, or if you could stay in a state in which you don't have children, this would actually be higher because then you could be totally devoted to the Lord. God has provided a blessing for every person in every stage of life. But I believe especially a blessing, a special type of blessing for those who raise children. And even if you're a stepmother or you're a foster parent who have raised children that nobody wanted, believe me, there is a blessing on you that is indescribable if you've taken care of the orphans and the less fortunate. Here are these two images of this boy who blessed the nation by a mother's prayer. Little boy Samuel being presented to the priest Eli by his mom, maybe 8 years old. And then in a vision, God came to this young man and told him that he was going to rescue an entire nation. But it all came about through the faithfulness of a mother's prayer.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.